going to speak at Kindersley at this marriage thing, and she said she had something the Lord to share. So she's going to share something in a moment, and Nisha also just had something in her heart to share. So we have some special guests this morning, and I get to join in. Just before, Nisha, do you want to come now or after? What would you prefer? Okay. So why don't you come? Just as Nisha's coming, one important announcement I forgot to mention is we really need some people to help in the nursery during services for kids. Leanne, help me out. What's the nursery age right now? Okay, so kindergarten and up is downstairs, but in the nursery, it's kids up to that kindergarten age. We just need some help, and it's out in the back here in the old office. There's the toy room, and we just need some moms, some grandmas to be able to come and hang out and just bless those kids, and so the moms can also take turns coming in and being part of the service. So if you're at all able to help us with that, please let Vicky know. And we'd like to get a schedule filled out for that and keep it going. Amen? All right. Nisha, come on.
Okay. So I want every eye is closed and every heart to be receptive to receive this word from the Lord. So I believe it's very powerful and it's very encouraging, so I don't want anyone to see me or how I talk, but I just want your hearts to focus on the Lord. So as I was in prayer, I got this picture of a woman in labor. You know, for the first 9 months, the baby is safe inside the mother's womb because it's a comfortable place, a safe place, and it receives all the nutrients through the umbilical cord. And the Lord showed me very specifically about this umbilical cord. It says that it is considered as the physical and emotional attachment between the mother and the baby. But during the time of labor, the first thing the doctor does is they cut the umbilical cord. What happens if the mother feels that, oh, my baby is safe here, it's comfortable, I don't want it to go out, it's not going to end good. It's not safe for the mother or for the baby. So the umbilical cord has to be cut so the baby and the mother are safe, and the baby is exposed or introduced or enters into a different habitation where it's exposed to different environmental factors that's so important for its growth and development, which could be uncomfortable, challenging, because every stages of development and growth, it has to face those uncomfortable, ever-changing environmental factors, but they are so needed and necessary for the baby to grow to its full potential. So I felt the Lord ask this question. There are some of you here where you are very comfortable, like the baby inside the womb. You are so comfortable because you know it's a safe place, you don't want to take any risk. The Lord put you there for a season. But if you're going to stay there for a long time, it's not good for you. It's not good for you, for the calling that God has placed upon your life. There are some who have been fearful all their lifetime and now they are feeling comfortable. There are some who are like walking in this place of anxieties so many years and they are getting comfortable. There are some who are walking in that place of being sick, and you have been there long enough and you are feeling comfortable. But the Lord is saying that if you stay there for a long time, it's not going to be good for you. You will not grow to that full potential or the purpose that I have upon your life. So he is asking those people, will you give me the permission to cut the umbilical cord so I can take you to a new habitation of my presence, of my calling, of my goodness, of my love that I have in store for you. Would you give me the permission to cut the umbilical cord? And there are second group of people where you have given the permission for the Lord to cut the umbilical cord and you have started this journey. But as you grow stage by stage, you are facing uncomfortable situations, different environmental factors like addiction, problems in your marriage, problems in your relationship, and you have started questioning God. And you are like, I am done. I don't want to grow more. I don't want to grow to the full potential. But the Lord is saying, I am with you. You are not alone. I am with you. Will you take that risk again to walk with me, to walk this journey with me? Because I know, I see what you are becoming in me. I see the full potential in you. I trust you. Would you step out in faith and walk this journey with me? So if you belong to those two group of people, I just feel to release a word of prayer over you. I know I can sense such a strong presence of God in this place. And as we look up to him, as we look up to him in surrender, he is going to break those things. He wants you to come out of those safe things that you think it is safe for you, but it is not. So if you feel that way, I just want you to put your hand on your heart and receive this prayer. Jesus, we trust you this morning. We trust your Lordship. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, you are high above everything, O Lord. Today we choose surrender. We choose surrender. We don't want to be where we are, but we want to take risk, step out in faith to walk in the new habitation of your presence, of your love. So Father, we entrust you our seasons. We entrust you our perspectives. We entrust you our fears, our anxiety, our reasoning, our questioning. We entrust you, O Lord Jesus. Father, we surrender and we say we choose faith today. We walk by faith and not by sight is what your word says. So we choose faith. Forgive us for questioning you, O Lord. Forgive us for walking and being in that comfortable place for a long season. And today we choose to step out, Father. Lord, we give you the permission to cut that umbilical cord. Lord, as we say it, there's something happening in the spiritual realm. You are cutting off those things that no more belong to us, O Lord. Fear, anxiety, addiction, problems. Father, you are cutting off those things and we give you permission. Lord, we give you permission to walk with us through the difficult seasons that we are in, Lord Jesus. Because you know, unless we face those things, we will not grow to our potential. Lord, you allow us to walk through those difficult seasons and those changing, ever-changing factors because you want to prune us. You want to train us. You want us to grow to our full potential that you see in us. Lord, we are not alone. Just like you were with Mary and Martha when Lazarus died, you came, you wept with them, you sat with them, You met them exactly where they were. And you are the same God. Meet us today where we are, Lord. Lord, you walked with Peter. Lord, he thought he's sinking in the deep sea, but you held his hand. And you said, Peter, you're not alone. I am with you. You walk with those Israelites as a pillar of fire, pillar of cloud, telling them that I am with you. When they thought they met the Red Sea and it's a dead end of their life, but you, Lord Jesus, parted the Red Sea and made them to walk on the dry ground. This is the Lord we serve. Father, we surrender all these things, whichever season we are in, whichever group we belong to, we choose surrender and we choose faith. And we believe, Lord, that we will walk and taste the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Because it is not the circumstances or the seasons that define us, but Lord Jesus, it is you who define our life. And you have called us to walk in the calling, to walk in the worthy calling that you have placed upon our lives, to walk to the fullness that you see in us, O Lord Jesus. So we choose faith today. Lord, infuse a new hope in us that we will never walk back the same. We will walk as the people of faith, who will continue to trust you, who will continue to walk in your calling, who will continue to have this intimate relationship with you no matter what the enemy brings. We will kick the enemy's butt off, Lord Jesus, because we are called to be the people of authority. We are called to be the sons and daughters of the King. So we thank you, Father. Lord, we seal this prayer over each one of us with the blood of Jesus, and we will never be the same. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Nisha. Thanks, Emily. Holly, why don't you come? Let's pray for Holly. She's going to share this morning. God, we just thank you for Holly. Thank you, Lord, for her life. Thank you, God, for all that you've done in her and all that you're doing. And I pray that you just strengthen her. She shares whatever you put on her heart today, God. I pray just for your peace and your anointing, Lord. And courage to go for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. There you go. Thank you. Thank you, God, for all the ways you've already poured out today. And I pray that by your Holy Spirit, our hearts have room to receive a little more. Just like that song, you speak and we want more. So, God, I pray also that this message would go from head knowledge to heart knowledge. And I thank you for the wonderful way that you've anointed this church with worship. And as we, Paul spoke, we are made for connection. And I thank God for the connections I have and the love I have with each one of you and the way God taught me to connect with him through worship when I got here. So that's not my message, but there we go. In September, as I was praying through the Passion Translation in the book of Proverbs, I had a wow word that I think is a now word. And then it's just a little message, and then God expanded it in the last little season here. So Proverbs 23:17, and I'm sorry they don't have the Passion Translation available on the overhead. And it's quite a bit different in this verse, and I'll explain it. But Proverbs 23, verse 17, don't allow the actions of evil men to cause you to burn with anger, but instead, burn with unrelenting passion as you worship God in holy awe. Now, most translations say something like, don't envy sinners. But the translator states that envy doesn't fully convey the intensity of the emotion of the Hebrew word. So then I was led to Proverbs 24, verses 1 to 4. And I won't give you any examples of actions that make us burn with anger, because I'm sure that your mind will go there anyways. But here it is: if you're worried about not getting envy in, don't envy the wrath of the wicked or crave their company. They are obsessed with causing trouble, and their conversations are corrupt. The Amplified adds, they plot oppression and they devise violence. So God knows the extent of evil that we are looking at more than we do. Verse 3, wise people, I would say those with godly wisdom, are builders. They build families, they build businesses, communities. Other versions say a house is built by wisdom, and these are the types of the things house represents. Number 4, because of their skilled leadership, the hearts of the people are filled with the treasure of wisdom and the pleasures of spiritual wealth. God, I thank you for the wisdom you have shared with us in Family Church due to the skilled leadership you have given this house. So what God led me in this was, number 1, repent. Repent of overly consuming anger towards the action of evil men. And because I'm a bit dyslexic, I also read it as the evil actions of man, which also would apply. I don't mean that we ignore sin. It doesn't mean we don't judge in some cases. It means our focus doesn't stay there. We don't magnify the work of the enemy. We don't lose hope, and we may even take action if, when, and how the Lord leads us. How might the Lord lead us? Through other believers, through hearing him, through a call to pray, a call to fast, a call to be the light in a dark situation, to engage in a petition, particularly right now, to vote, to lead it, and to serve. But the main thing is to let this darkness fuel our passion to cry out to God, to pray for justice, to pray for a move of repentance, followed by a mighty move of God, and to worship the God who is justice and truth, and who is the God of revival. Remembering that no matter what the circumstances are, or our feelings at the moment, God is unchanged. He is every bit as worthy of praise right now as ever. So that was number 1, repent and worship. Wisdom, this is number 2. Wisdom from God is so badly needed right now. God, we want to build a family firmly on your foundation of love and wisdom. We want to build provinces, build nations, and yes, to build our lives on your wisdom. But how to get this wisdom? Back to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 19. As you listen to me, you will grow in wisdom, and your heart will be drawn into understanding, which will empower you to make right decisions. So not your head, but your heart. It means not just our IQ, but our emotional intelligence and our spiritual intelligence. What does it mean to listen to God? Well, we all know many ways. We read the word with purpose. We listen to teachings. We receive revelation from Holy Spirit. And importantly, we obey. As parents, we certainly want our kids to obey when we say to listen to me, not just to hear us. So number 3, no matter the evil that is being exposed in the church, in the world around us, and even inside us, there is hope. Right after the verse, Proverbs 23:17 that we started with, that tells us not to burn in anger, but to worship God all the more, the next verse comes to encourage us with this truth. Proverbs 23:18. Your future is bright and filled with a living hope that will never fade away. This is written over 900 years before Jesus was born, about the time of Israel's return from exile in Babylon. How much more do we know the living hope now? The complete Jewish Bible says, For then you will have a future, and what you hope for will not be cut off, will not disappoint. A Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible puts it this way. This is a little different language, but for if thou shouldest keep these things, thou shalt have posterity. Posterity means the offspring of the progenitor to the furthest generation. It means all future generations. It means fruit. It means seed. I need one sip of water. our living in a worshipful, holy awe type fear of the Lord matters. It matters to our generations, and it bears long-term fruit. So, an interesting nugget I heard the other day is that the biblical word for doubt means to look at our circumstances. So, I've been doing more doubting than I realized once I heard that. It's the opposite of looking to our living hope. So let's look further into our living hope, Jesus. Hebrews, this is also in the Passion Translation, chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. So it is impossible for God to lie, for we know that his promise and his vow never change. And now we run into his heart to hide ourselves in his faithfulness. This is where we find his strength and comfort. He empowers us to seize what has already been established ahead of time, an unshakable hope. We have this certain hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor holding our souls to God himself. God, I pray today that you are showing us that we have this hope in you and that you are joining us to you in unbreakable hope. I had intended to speak briefly here on hope deferred, but I felt God leading in another direction. I felt he wanted to highlight that I am with you in the middle. As you are going through the storm, as you're in the battle, sometimes as you take a step of obedience, God says, I will part the sea so that you can cross over to the promised land like Joshua. Sometimes I will come into your situation and you'll find yourself on the other side of it. Sometimes I am teaching you your authority in me to speak to the storm and see it calm. Sometimes, as you look to me in faith, I will train you on how to walk on the waves. So we started with a strong negative reaction to evil that we see or actions that we perceive to be wrongdoing. It could provoke anger, it could provoke despair, or tempt us to give up and think it's only going to get worse. But in this, we realize our immense need for God. I believe that God is highlighting a key for this season is to engage with him in worship. Not as a duty or emotion to go through on Sundays. It's not about getting something from God as if we could manipulate him. Worship, like prayer, transforms us. This is so important to realize. It's not just for some people. And there are so many ways to worship. How do we come into a place of worship and enter his presence, especially when we're mad or don't feel like it? Psalm 100, verse 4 in the Amplified Classic. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and a thank offering, so we have word and substance, and into his court with praise. Be thankful and say so to him. Bless and affectionately praise his name. So first is thanksgiving. It's a gate or a doorway. Sometimes we don't have long to visit and we just stand in the doorway. We can do this all day long, coming to God with thanks. It may not be as long or as close, but it is an entry point. Gates in the Old Testament had to do with judgment, authority, and where important decisions were made. Worship can have a place with authority and decision-making, if we're wise. Even more significant in the New Testament, Jesus is the gate into the kingdom of God. Secondly, courts. These can be judicial, where you go and experience mercy. You might even bring a petition. But in this context, they seem to imply the courtyard, the inner place closer to God. You are taking more time and more intimacy. This is shown in Psalm 92, verses 12 to 14. Yes, look at how you've made all your devoted lovers to flourish. Now here, this is how they've translated righteousness, all the righteous to flourish and bud. Like palm trees, each one growing in victory, standing in strength, you've transplanted them into a heavenly courtyard where they are thriving before you in your presence. They will still overflow and be anointed even in their old age. Well, they will stay fresh, bearing fruit, and abiding faithfully. Lord, we pray that this morning as well. I thank you that by your blood we are made righteous, and that we can come in to your very inner presence, and you anoint us to still abide in you and bear fruit. I would further point out that thankfulness, at least to start with, has a bit more focus on us, and that's not a bad thing. Thanking God for every good thing he's provided or done for us. Whereas praise is moving more into a look at who God is. I would like to share a part of my journaling recently to illustrate this a little further. God, I thank you for the parts and aspects of you that my parents exemplify. Please help me to receive that heritage and pass it both to my natural children and hopefully grandchildren one day, and also to any spiritual children. Thankfulness. My dad is thankful over everything in every circumstance. He's optimistic and grateful, definitely turned well away from complaining over lack or self-pity, towards anything that there is to be grateful for, and he expresses that gratitude easily and often. Neurologically, this turns off anxiety and has led him to expect good in his life and realizing humbly that God is the source of that good. Praise. My mom has a beautiful heart, drawn to see the good in who a person is, not based on the failing or the excelling of their behavior, but who they actually are. And certainly that each of us have inherent value as God's children, but she also sees and can help you to see your unique gifting. God made her patient, articulate, and compassionate to be able to bring this gift to those blessed ones around her. It's a gift some emulate for flattery and manipulation, but when it's genuine, you know it. And it brings to life more of God's purpose in your life by knowing who you are. So we want to see God in others and worship God for who he is. I believe that every one of us can be thankful, but it's a special privilege of those who are born again of the Spirit that we have access to a continual revelation of who God is and can praise him and minister to him in this way. In worshiping him, we'll encounter his hope that is not wishful thinking, but it is eyes that are turned away from vexing circumstances to the one with the power to change it and change our reaction to it. It isn't trying in our own limitations to change things, but to cry out to the only one who can, to draw near to him in praise and prayer, until with eyes of faith we can perceive God's higher truth, when in the natural we don't see the justice or the breakthrough yet. Yet when we get a hold of a word or a promise of God, we remind ourselves of who he is. We can pray from agreement with heaven. We can decree, and then we can praise God some more. Lastly, I will say that just as Pastor Paul has so practically taught us to plan to read the Bible, plans including what time of day we will do it, what topic or book of the Bible we will study, how we will notice context and ask Holy Spirit what he's saying to us, given the emphasis God is showing on worship and in how transformative it is, we would be wise to plan to worship. To give thanks and prayers as they come to mind throughout the day, yes, but to set a time for the purpose of praise. Set aside some time for that every day. And out of God's presence, as he leads further, to pray, decree, and obey any revelation we receive. But if time just praising, if you don't even have an agenda other than worship, that is enough. Without a plan, it's just another good idea that ends up pushed aside for other things. Even with a plan, we might start off good and then become complacent in our planning and backslide. Don't let that bring shame or a defeatist "why even try" mindset. Get up and try again and again and again. Realize that we will need to get up and keep getting up and trying all throughout our lives. But His grace is always there for us. We invest in nurturing our relationship through worship, and we grow in the process as He nurtures us. I know that worship and engaging with God in prayer can look different for each of us and be expressed differently at different times. Sometimes it might involve singing and dancing, but I wanted to leave you with an example of it from an online study group that I was part of last year. I'm grateful God brought this back to my remembrance when I was preparing, as it spoke to my heart again. And I pray that some part of this will minister to you. The study group was with Hearts on Fire Ministries, and it was materials from Chris Fallotton on spiritual intelligence. And Chris defined that as not just learning to think like God, but actually being able to access His thoughts in real time. So it was a several-week online study, and I took it more than once and still feel like I haven't arrived, but I'm grateful for what God has spoken to me through that. So this part of the study was about renewing your mind, and the object was to name one area in my life which God is currently pruning me with His word. And at that point, I felt like it was my thought life turning to the negative. And the part of His word that He was using to prune me was Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. And so I dialogued with God in this way. Rejoice in the Lord. This is verse 4. And always, again I say rejoice. I felt God saying, so I journaled it down. Holly, find your joy in me always. Rejoice. Feel joy. Take great delight. Gladden your heart with me. Verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. And I felt like to look into what gentleness could all mean. So be open and available and present. Be kind, be patient, acting with love. Emotionally grounded in Jesus, so you can offer peace and strength and wisdom to others. Offer as God leads and not your mind and heart or emotions. Holly, join yourself to me and let your heart be available and open, guided by my love for all those I place in your path. Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. My dear one, you are not made for worry, and I want to hold you in my love so that it will cast out all your fear. Heal the pain in your heart that tempts you to believe lies about your situation, about me, about your value and identity. In every situation, I am there with you. I want you to come to me and to see in my heavenly perspective, to see all that I'm doing in the situation that you can give thanks for, and that I am with you and for you, no matter how dark and lonely you feel. You have accepted the gift of worshiping me in joy and with a pure heart. Do not doubt the power of this or minimize this. Praise me. Also pour your heart and mind to me. Ask me for what you want and need, and trust me not to judge what you ask for, but to guide you in love to the best that I have for you. God, I pray that that would speak to hearts today, that they would be able to come before you without even feeling that their request is not a good enough request, and that they would trust you to guide the desires of our heart. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Holly, I wrap my peace around you like a shield. And I would say that, Family Church, God wraps His peace around you like a shield, protecting you from the futility and damage of trying to understand every earthly situation. It's like an umbilical cord to my heart, so that you can be anchored in my love when your emotions beckon with the stress. I just want to repeat that. Family, church, I wrap my peace around you, like a shield protecting you from the futility and damage of trying to understand every earthly situation, like an umbilical cord to my heart, that you are anchored in my love when your emotions beckon with the stress. Finally, in verse 8, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Princess, take each of these and spend time each day seeking specific things in each of these attributes. Begin to notice and search for them in your day. Show them to me, and I will show you some from my perspective. Let this be an adventure, not only a discipline, but one that we do together in partnership and friendship. So that is one way that worship looks. Verse 9, whatever you have learned or received from me or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So this is what I felt God say back to me. You are learning. And I'll speak it to you as well. You are learning. You have, and you will continually receive from me. You, beloved, do hear my voice. You will hear it for me, for you, and for others. Your imagination and mind connects you to see into me. And my spirit is available on the ready to help you put it into practice. Do not be overwhelmed. This is a dance to follow my lead, to keep your gaze in mine. I've got you. I will hold you steady. As we dance, you will not fail. You noticed I said, I would be with you, the God of peace. Not my peace will be with you, but I will be with you. So, God, I thank you for this time together, and I pray that as negative emotions arise in us this week, that we would turn to you all the more in worship and seek you for wisdom. And I thank you that you would help each one make a unique plan to worship you and flesh out the details of that plan, and then keep us planning as we forget to plan, and that we would find you all the more as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.